welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. When A-listers request a DJ, they go for my next guest. His tell-all book is out next year. I don't take requests. It's raw, raucous, and a really good read. Please welcome on board international DJ, and let's face it, gossip, it's DJ Fat Tony! Final boarding call for DJ Fat Tony. DJ Fat Tony, final boarding call. Final boarding call, please. DJ Fat Tony. DJ Fat Tony, final calling board. Final calling board for DJ Fat Tony.
Final calling call. Boarding call.
DJ Fat Tony. Thank you. Welcome on board, DJ Fat Tony. How you doing? Hello, you.
Hello, you. You all right?
Where was my invite yesterday? I saw you. You were having a roast with Elton, Russell Tovey. Tell me, where are all the A-gays? Why weren't I invited?
It was a spit roast. it was one of those out of the blue roast things, you know, like literally. Because Elton hasn't been social for so long. Because of the hip and everything else that was going on. So they literally just rang us up and said, do you want to come for a roast? And I was like, yeah, come on, let's do it.
And is it a nice roast? Yeah, does he cook it?
It was amazing. No, it looked like he cooks it. One of the 17 staff. No, it was amazing, yeah. I don't normally like roast potatoes, but Elton's roast potatoes were pretty fluffy on the inside, I must say.
I bet there are Bessies. They've got to be. I bet there are Bessies. He could probably pay for Aunt Bessie to be flown in.
Yeah, I do actually see her in the kitchen on the way out.
So this is a travel podcast, and you are perfect for this because you fly everywhere doing these A-list. You do.
Yeah,
I mean, you name drop like a mofo.
The worst name dropper because it's just I've always name dropped. And then I don't mean to. It's my mates. I can't help it.
Yeah.
You can talk.
Well, you know what I mean?
You and Adele.
Oh, babe. I'm Alan.
She sold my ass.
Some pie and mash.
Do you know what I mean? She did. She thought she was on Chatty Man.
I know. All that going living in LA.
I'll have a drink.
Go on. Oh, what do you want from the Globe? I'm surprised she didn't bring one of them out.
So, right. Tell us about... Now, do you ever travel for fun? Because you fly all over the world.
You know what? Recently, I've just started doing that. I've started travelling for fun.
Yeah.
Before, it was always work. Like, I'd fly everywhere. And, you know, I suffer with imposter syndrome. So when I'm on a plane, I could be like, for instance, this one time I was going, this is a name drop, going off to do David Beckham in Miami. I've done David Beckham lots of times. I was on my way to do David Beckham for Art Basel in Miami.
Yeah.
And I was in first class and I was sitting on the plane. And straight away, all that comes to mind is they're all going to hate me when I get off the plane. They're going to hate my set. I'm wasting my time coming here. You know, I don't think about, I'm in first class. The night before, I was at home thinking, oh, God, I've got to go to the airport. I completely catastrophize.
Yeah.
Leaving my house in Pimlico to go to Heathrow, which is 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
But I will catastrophize that whole airport situation.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to sit in that lounge again and have those crusty rolls. You know, like, seriously, which people, like, dream of.
Oh, no, I know,
but,
yeah.
You know, but travelling now for me it really has become, like, a quality. You know, after the lockdown and we couldn't travel, you know, it was taken away from us. So now it really is, like, a real quality again.
Yeah. That's what I thought as well. And because I thought it was weird doing a travel podcast in the middle of a lockdown, but I realised how much I love travel and how much I love getting about and stuff. You said you live in Pimlico. Now, listen, I'm not being a bitch. It looks boring, Pimlico. Why? No, it does. You walk around Pimlico, you're like, what's the point? Is it nice?
It's amazing. You know what? It's one of those
areas.
It looks
so boring.
But what looks boring about it? Because it's all white.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not all fur coat and no knickers. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's full of nutters.
Oh, is that why you love it then?
I love it. The energy around there. Like, literally half of it is owned by a company called Sanctuary, which says it all in the name.
Yeah.
So they rehouse people from mental homes and stuff. So there's a lot of that of a certain type of person that lives there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we lived in this other part of Pimlico before, and we were the only ones on the street that were kind of relatively sane, if you can believe
that.
Oh,
my God. Know, right?
but, you know, it's got that village feel.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, for instance, I walk my dog. I take her out in a pushchair these days because she doesn't walk anywhere.
Bless.
But I you know.
She lost an eye, didn't she?
Yeah, she just lost an eye as well. Yeah, to cancer.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But, you know, it takes you an hour to just to walk your dog because everyone wants to stop and talk.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's really nice. And it's not one of those areas where everyone wants to know your business. Everyone knows your business because it's very community-based.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't get that in London. You don't get.
No,
you don't walk
right.
down the road and say hello to people. People don't want to talk to you in London. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And in Pimlico, it really has got that, still got that feeling. Like the old birds off the council estate
yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, everyone will talk to everyone. There is yeah. no airs and graces. I mean, you get one or two of those, but, you know, it's really nice.
Oh, you've really changed my mind. I mean,
honestly,
I didn't mean to dis...
Claire Sweeney lives there as well.
I'm replacing Claire
yeah,
today.
Yeah, you are today. Cab driver once said to me a couple of weeks, I got in a cab and he went, I saw that Daniela Westbrook earlier on Lupus Street. And I was like, really? He went, yeah, she's sitting outside the cab. I said, don't you mean Claire Sweeney? And he's like, no, I'm sure it was Daniela Westbrook. And he got it up on the phone, it was Claire Sweeney.
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, someone thought you were Daniela Westbrook earlier. I was like, what a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
She's gone up, yeah. Yeah, no, so Pimlico's great, yeah.
Cross-checked and manual, please. This is your captain speaking. The seatbelt sign is now on. Hold on to your hats.
When did you go on holiday as a kid? Did you go on holiday?
Yeah, always. We went to Laysdown.
Oh,
Laysdown in a caravan. In a chalet when we got a bit more richer. And my dad would take us there. My grand and it always would end in tears. We'd either be leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark because my dad would have beat my granddad up or something, you know. My dad always ended in tears because, you know, they have clubhouses. The
yes.
worst thing you can possibly do to a caravan site.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to go there. My dad would be at the bar smoking his cigar. We'd be outside with our crisps and our Coca-Cola.
Yeah, playing
on the fruit machines. You know, really good for a little young addict growing up, Coca-Cola and fruit machines. No wonder I ended up the way I did. But you know what? Laysdown was where we always went. We went to Laysdown, Isle of Sheppey.
Because that's my family, Laysdown. That's where my mum off went, used to go with a caravan. And just such lovely memories.
Honestly,
we had caravanning all of these people, but it was a nice time. I loved it.
It was beautiful.
I love caravanning.
And we'd go there, and I remember when we went really posh, and we went up to Norfolk Broads. Yeah, we went there, and I remember our tent blew away, and literally there was a massive storm, and we were in a tent, and the tent blew away, and it's affected me all my life. My dad, I can remember all my mum saying to my dad, The kids, and my dad was like, fuck the kids. Where are my trousers? It's got my money in it. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, he hates us. Do you know what I mean? That was probably one of my earliest memories of him going, I don't care about the kids. Where are my trousers? Yeah, because the tent blew away. I remember just like one of those nights. You know, I have fond memories of childhood going on holiday, always.
If you look out to your left, you'll see the Norfolk Broads. If you look out to the right, you'll see a tent flying by with two children attached to it.
Let's talk about decadence now. Let's go really vulgar. Now, you get invited. You do royalty, Donatella Versace, the Beckhams and all that. So what, they asked you to come. Do they put on the plane for you? Do you go PJ,
private jet? I've done lots of PJs. And, you know, for me... I kind of find it a little bit gross. I find it a little bit when I'm on there. The first time, don't get me wrong, first time you go on a private jet, you're like, yeah, all out with the phone, filming it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? I kind of just think the
current climate.
You're
like Alexis in Dynasty, aren't you?
100%.
You feel like, yeah, look at me.
Like, right, I'm going to walk up to the plane. I want you to film me walking up to the plane. I want to walk up the stairs and I want to turn around to do that Air Force One wave and then get on the plane. Everyone does it. Do you know what I mean? And then they'll do the, okay, the second time we're on a private jet, we're not going to say we're on a private jet, but we're going to take a picture of ourselves in the armchair with the little tiny window with the selection of sandwiches.
Yeah, and people
so everyone
know
knows straight
yeah,
away it's a private
PJ,
jet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and then, you know, then all it takes is for the captain to say, yeah, Beyonce used to use this for a tour, and that's it. Straight on Instagram. Yeah, I'm on Beyonce's plane, sitting on the same toilet as Beyonce. You know, all of that. But, yeah.
Hello, welcome on board to Beyoncé's private jet. The toilets are to the left, to the left. Can you please refrain from using Beyonce's toilet? Thank you.
Today, it's kind of, you know, I have a level of how I fly. I like to be at the front of the plane rather than down the back by the bogs, because I grew up down the back by the bogs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but, you know, business class is all right for me. I'm happy in business
yeah,
class.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's nice. You're still a bit grounded.
Oh, then. Yeah, totally. Still street. But, no, you know what? It's kind of just... That's kind of changed as well, because if you go with the current climate, if you fly business class, you're last on the plane.
Oh.
They let economy on first, whereas before it used to be...
that's not good, is it?
No. Especially someone like me that wants to beat everyone up because they're getting on before me. Do you know what I mean? Like, how dare you get on before me? Yeah.
So
no.
Tell us, what's the nicest hotel you've stayed at? I want to hear everything. I mean, listen, when you start off, you're just impressed when they put the point on the toilet
honestly,
roll.
Totally.
That's not nice.
Totally.
And then sometimes I make a swan out of the towels. Yeah. That's nice. But what we want to know, what was you blown away by? Where have you gone? Because I suppose they put you up in a hotel and it's a gorgeous hotel.
I mean, I'd say probably, obviously it's got to be the Ritz in Paris. It's kind of like up there.
Bonjour, DJ Grand Tony. Bien? Oui, n'est-ce pas? Croque monsieur, baguette, café rouge.
I've been there for Dior. You know, that was incredible. The Fasano in Brazil, in Rio.
Oh, and you've got that peak there looking over the beaches.
Insane, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely insane. Those kind of hotels, you know, more boutique-y for me.
Yeah, you don't like...
Do you know what I mean?
You get a better service.
I don't like being judged in a lift. Do you know what I mean? When I'm going to my suite.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you've got, like, the pools winners in the lift, like, judging you because they're wearing their fur coats and, like, too much makeup. Do you know what I mean? And like, you're just standing there looking like you've been out all night. Well, you had been out all night most of the time.
Where do you go for sexy time? Where's the place that's sexy that, you know, you're going to have a lot of sex? Is it Paris? Is it Rome? Brazil
no,
people
you know
are
what?
Fit.
I kind of think Ibiza.
Really?
Really do, yeah.
But you said somewhere that Ibiza's been ruined by people.
It has, but you know what? The godsend of the pandemic just gave it back to Ibiza. It really brought it back. Honestly, I've been so many times since the lockdown and with my boyfriend, and it's been beautiful because, you know, you don't have the insanity of, oi, oi, here we go, all that going on over the island.
Yeah.
And it was ruined for so many years because of the super clubs, you know. Where does it go from there? Once something gets so big with clubbing and stuff, the people that attracts, it's like going to your local village butcher and then going to Asda Superstore.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? The size of things, the difference in it. And for me, Ibiza, the good thing about the pandemic was that Ibiza suddenly become Ibiza again.
Yeah, yeah.
Restaurants, eating. It was just lovely.
Because where do you stand on that? Because listen, I very, very rarely go clubbing. And when I'm on holiday, maybe I do get a second win once I've had me whispering angel. But when did all that, spending all that money on a bottle of vodka so you can sit? I mean, some of this vodka's really expensive.
It's outrageous, yeah. It's
why shocking. Is that? Just, why, what?
We were talking about that on the way here, actually. You know that salt guy who does the salt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that steak.
That awful restaurant. Yeah. And we went by there a minute ago and we were actually talking about how vulgar it is just to spend that kind of money on a meal. Yeah. And you know, and who you're impressing.
I mean, they're putting the receipt on Instagram. How tacky is that?
Oh, they always do it. And I mean, you know, if you're sitting in a club and 17 bottles go by you with sparklers on them, you want to get the fuck out of the door, darling, because you're in the wrong club. Do you know what I'm saying? You're in the wrong place. Totally. I'm seriously, you know what I mean? It's like you need to pinch yourself and think, right, okay, my life is going in a really, really bad way. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm being surrounded by people drinking champagne out of sparklers.
Yeah.
No, I just... For me, it's about the smaller things again.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's got to be the vibe. It's got to be the people, and it's got it really to be is. The people.
Because my job is to thrive off energy.
Yeah.
As a DJ, I don't sit at home planning what I'm going to play. I walk into a club and I feel that energy, and then I know exactly what I'm going to play. I read the dance floor. That's my job.
Yeah.
So packed dance floors are where it's at. The pandemic didn't do me any favours in that sense, because DJing to free yuccas and a palm tree in your garden. Don't get me wrong, I'm very blessed to have a palm tree. But do you know
you've
what I'm saying?
Changed.
I really
you've
have.
You've changed.
Used to be like, you know, dog ends, and that was it, and pigeons. Do you know what I mean? And I'd be fighting the pigeons for the dog ends. But things have changed. But, you know, it's about energy for me. And I you know, walking into a packed dance floor is where it's at. But I don't particularly like super clubs. I feel like I'm drowning.
Yeah, okay. Your book's out next year.
Yeah, mate.
Was it? I don't take requests. Well, obviously, I haven't read it yet, but I know bits you're talking about. But it was so lovely reading that article about, you know, the WAG,
yeah,
limelight. It took me right back to when I did come down to London, you know.
Yeah,
I've been
there. The thing about the book, Alan, is going to be like, there's so much euphoria in it.
Yeah.
And it's very flattering of the times, you know, of like the 80s, 90s, because I've been around so long, doing clubs since I was 14. So you've got all of that stuff that people have grown up with and that they can really relate to. Mm. But also, the book isn't about that, just about that and about music and about DJing. It's about my life. And there's so many dark areas that people don't know about, of mental health. And,
of course.
And I'm very open and honest about the addiction side of things. But there's so many other stuff that happened in my life that when people read this book, they're going to be very shocked. It's not what they think it is. It's not about me talking about, me and Kate Moss went here and me and Naomi had a fight there and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's not in it. I mean, there's bits of that in it, but it's not like that. It really is a kind of a modern day self-help book in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because
there's
stuff in there that people would be like, wow, he went through that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's been really just writing it. It's taken me nearly 2.5 years because I had to keep changing it. I kept thinking, no, that doesn't need to be said that way. And just changing it because I want it to be, it's a book. It's not going to do another one.
And you're happy with it and it's the full full picture.
I'm scared of it.
That's good because you're giving something away, because I can't stand these biographies where, and then I did this. And it's like, that's a load of bullshit.
The publishers, I had a meeting with them last Friday at Hodder, and I walked in, there was like 10 people in the room. And it was one of those, I don't want this. And I sat down with them and I was like, okay, before we start, I really want to know, have you read this? And have you read this? Have you read this? And they all went around the room and they all started telling me, talking about different chapters, like just about my mom and this court case that I had and all this stuff that they kept doing. And one woman started to cry and she was like, I just want you to know how brave you are in this book, because people aren't that brave. People aren't that honest.
No.
And I talked about stuff that could probably... If you read it in the wrong way, you'd probably think, oh, my God, he's vile. Do you get what I mean? That's how my head thinks. But because certain things have happened in my life that most people would judge other people on, but some really magical and beautiful things have come out of the darkest of times.
Yeah.
I've put it all in there. It's all in there. Because if I don't put it in there, someone else will mention it or bring it up. And, you know, people don't like talking about sex addiction. They don't like talking about that. People, you know, start writing about sex addiction, people think, he's making an excuse, he just has lots of sex. They don't realise it's the same as taking heroin.
That
wants you dead in a room on your own, pulling your teeth out. That's what all addiction takes you to. That, you know, the darkest of places, and it's all in the book. Yeah.
I mean, how refreshing is that? You know, a celebrity biography where you're honest. I mean, because you read some of it and it's all a load of crap, and sometimes you've actually been there that they're talking about. Well, that didn't bloody happen.
But
I
mean,
I have one glass of red wine and then I'm pooped. Really?
Totally. No, yeah. It's all in there. Everything in this book, I've already had guilt about. I've already had trauma about, and I've already been embarrassed about. So it's dealt with.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying, Joe?
So
everything in there, I've taken the power out of it. And it's very humorous. I make jokes about all of it.
Of course, yeah.
Because that's what I do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, sometimes, you know, you got to laugh about things.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can't beat yourself up all your life, can you?
No.
You just can't do it.
No.
It's exhausting beating yourself up. I mean, the amount of times I've been a dick.
Oh,
just got to get on with it.
I'm 15 years in January clean, and I'm more of a dick these days than I ever was when I was using. Sometimes I literally go, like yesterday, I go home and I think, oh, why did you say that? Why did you do that? Do you know what I mean?
I did that the other day. I mean, I don't want to name and shame because the man was lovely. I mean, I must get my ear syringed. I was backstage at this gig. I swear the woman said the man was called Big Ed. And I go in there, and you're right, Big Ed. You're right, Big Ed. And he had a massive fucking head. But he was called Kevin. And the people talking thought I'd gone, all right, Big Ed, how you doing? And I was like, they were looking at me like, why are you calling him that? Obviously, I'm still now going, why did I say that? It looks like I've just gone into the right arsehole.
Genius.
Have you been on a holiday and you've been so twatted you can't remember going there?
Oh,
loads.
So many times. Ridiculous. Literally. I mean, I remember once I went away in like, this is the early 80s. I went to Ibiza. I literally went for a 7-day holiday. I went with like the Bananarama girls. There was loads of people that went on this, Steve Strange and Rusty, all went on this trip. We all stayed in this apartment block. I came back 4 months later. Four months later. I had no money. I stayed there for 4 months with no money, literally, yeah, completely off my nut the whole time. I was like doing like credit card checkbooks. Honestly, I'm attracted to wrong uns of every type, and I was with every wrong un. I had the best time.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of it, so I can't be held responsible for it. Do you know what I mean? I remember another time I came back from Ibiza. Those days, you had to fly via Palma. You had to go to Mallorca on Iberia, change there, 2 hour wait, and then get on another flight because there was no direct flights to Ibiza. And
I've been unthinkable now, isn't it? No direct flight to Ibiza. Insane.
Like 2.5 hours away. Do you know what I mean? But it takes you get across London. But literally, I remember leaving Coup, as it was called then, which is now called Privilege, you know, one of the biggest clubs on the island. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, God, you've got to get on a plane in like 3 hours, off my nut on MDMA. I mean, like, so gone. And I was head to toe in Gautier, as you were in those days. And I had little white cut-off denim shorts on. It didn't look gay, right? little cut-off Dr. Martin boots with steel toe cap showing, bleached blonde hair, this little black leather Gautier jacket.
You must look like someone in Bross.
Honestly, worse than that. But I had style. They didn't. And there was no like pills bottle tops or whatever they used. Grolsch bottle tops. I remember I hadn't slept for like 3 days, and I remember getting off the plane and going to the toilets in the airport, and I sat on the toilet. 7 hours later, I woke up.
And I
could not stand up. My legs had gone dead, and I fell on the floor in the toilet. And I was dragging myself out of the cubicle, literally, like pulling myself out of the cubicle, like that. The security guards were going mental. They took me off, and I was like, they were like, "Wait, what plane are you on?" And I was like, couldn't speak. And I remember crying my eyes out, and they were like, "I need to ring my mum." So I rang my mum. I was like, my mum's like, "What?" I was like, "I'm stuck in Palma. I've got no money. I've got no flight, and blah, blah, blah." And the next plane's not for 2 days. And it was one of those days, because it was like coming out.
So you were stuck in the airport like Tom Hanks in Terminal.
Yeah.
In white shorts. What state were those white shorts in? Crawling along a toilet floor.
They were disgusting. But at least I had brown legs, though. I carried it well. But, you know, and I remember my mum saying, "Your auntie Anne lives in Palma. I'll get her to come and collect you." Now, my auntie Anne had to leave London in the 60s because she was like a prostitute.
Yeah.
And she was a madam. And she had her and Dinah Dawes both had E-type white convertible Jags. She made so much money from prostitution.
Yeah.
She went to Mallorca and owned all these bars, like the Here We Go bar and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And literally, she came to collect me. I was asleep on this like little square of sofa thing in the middle of the airport terminal, no clothes, nothing with me, all gone off. And I was lying there, and she woke me up. She kicked me, and I looked. She had thigh-high white patent leather boots on. This is no lie. Bleached blonde hair and like a t-shirt, all tassels like that. She was like, "Yeah, look at the state of ya." And I was like, "Oh my god!" And literally off I went with her, and she got outside the airport. She had a green, fluorescent green Jeep with a pink hippopotamus on the bonnet. And I got in, and off I went to the Here We Go pub with her in Magaluf. She said, "I just got to pop in to see Tino." It was her husband. I was like, "Okay." And I'm in there with her, and like, you know when you just sit there and you think of all the evil things you've done in your life?
Yeah.
Why am I suddenly in heck, like the worst place on earth, Magaluf, with like, you know, dressed as the biggest gay, in the like, literally just sitting, it was hell on earth. You know, that was a memorable holiday, not.
But this book is going to fly off the fucking shelves, I tell you. I mean, that is amazing. I'm loving it. I want an Auntie Anne.
She's brilliant. Yeah, she's still alive now.
Oh, really?
She's like in her 80s, yeah.
Has she changed her job profession?
Oh, I would like to think so, but probably not. Probably not. Last Christmas, I went and had Christmas lunch with her. She came to London, her and my mum came up to London to go Harrods shopping. Mm. Or like, you know. the local like coach firm had brought them up or something. And I took them for lunch in Harrods, and I was like, and I sat down, and I sat down with my ex-boyfriend, and my aunt went, "So, still with him then?" And he was like, "Yeah." She's like, "You not fucked it up then, yeah? You fucked them all up, you know. Has he asked you to marry him?" That's what she said. And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah." She went, "He does it to all of them." I was like, oh my God. Yeah, genius. Like one of those ones, yeah. "Has he asked you to marry him then?" Yeah. Thanks, Anne.
Now, the one thing I love asking on this podcast is, which celebrities have you gone on holiday with? Because Rob Rinder went partying in Ibiza with Susanna Reid. Now, that's what I really want to know. Who'd you go on holiday with? Who's it worked with? Because celebrity, you think that the celebrity should get on. But, I mean, have you had any fallout? Or who'd you go on holiday with and you had the best time?
Well, I actually went on holiday with Rob Rinder without him knowing we were on holiday together.
Oh, really?
I was in LA, and we were staying at the London Hotel. He was staying there as well. I was on Grindr, so was he, with no profile picture. And no profile picture, but he had his ribbed, he had a six pack.
Yes, he's got a lovely body, hasn't he?
And I was like, chatting to him, and I was like, "Can I see your face?" I knew full well, because he was like 30 feet away. Do you know what I mean? Like 15 feet away. It was like, and the next day by the pool, he was chatting to us up by the pool, and I was just like, "Oh my God, I can't believe Judge Rinder's been chatting me up on Grindr." But so yeah, we went to work. That wasn't really a holiday together. But anyway.
Yeah, you could be having your hand on his gavel.
No thanks, I couldn't think of anything else. But then, so it's like a prawn, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's got a great body, but you throw away the head. But you know, it's that's kind of where that one was at for me. But you know, bless his heart. But yeah, who do I go away with? I've been away with loads of... Listen, I don't go away with celebrities. I go away with my friends.
Oh, I know. All right, all right.
We used to go away every year. Like, I always go away with Kate and stuff like that. And being away, you know, when I went to Brazil with Cher...
Oh, hello. Clang, clang. Oh, just pick that name up. Fucking
I had 4 days with Cher.
Tell me it was amazing.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Me and Kate were in our suite, and she came in and she was like, sat on the end of the bed. And I was like, Kate was like, "Go on, do it. Go on, Cher, do it." And she was like, "What?" And she was like, "Sing Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves." And literally Cher sat on the end of the bed and sang it to us. And then I come out with the classic line of, "You know, I Got You, Babe came out the year I was born." And she went, "Shut the fuck up and get out the room." And I was like, she was like, "Get out of here." She's brilliant. I got on so well with her. I had such a laugh with her.
Can you believe Tony got thrown out the room?
But all I wanted her to do was the wagon wheel one tootsie. And I kept saying to her, "Please, before I go back, please do it." And then on the last day, we had lunch at this big place
is it Santa Teresa? And is there trees?
Yes.
And you can sit round the tree?
Yes, the fig tree.
Fucking hell, it's amazing.
Yes.
And you can look all over the bay.
Yes.
I've been there.
Yeah, where's
your mad. If you ever, any listeners, if you go to Brazil, go to Santa Teresa, and it's a big, and it's
the
all around the
fig
trees.
Yes! Like giant, the biggest fig trees you've ever seen in your life.
And you sit there and you look out over the
bay. Right, yeah. So
oh, it's the beautiful.
We were there.
You went there with Cher?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I've got photos of it. Prove it. I always get it. I got it out yesterday at lunch. I said, "Have I shown you my picture of me and Cher?" But like, literally, that one always pops up once a year. You know how it is. It's like 6 years ago, 1 year ago today. I was like, "Oh, I'll post that again." Let the queens know who they're dealing with. But yeah, literally, she did the work. As I was leaving, she was like, "Tony." And I was like, "What?" She went, "Who's she doing one more tootsie?" And I was like, "Good impression, right?"
Yeah, I thought she was in the room.
She was like, "It was genius, honestly. Absolutely genius." So yeah, I think that kind of, you don't get better than going on to Brazil.
Well,
with
that, I mean, that is like, yeah, gay dreams come true, isn't it?
Kylie was there as well, but don't bother about that one. Love Kylie. Kylie, you see Kylie all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, shithole. Now, a place that you've gone where it's been a real shithole. You know, we don't have to be the place, because we had Amanda Olden on here and she went to Cyprus. There was a mini tornado and she went, "Fuck this, I'm coming back again, give it a second chance," and she broke her leg and she went, "Fuck Cyprus."
My so boyfriend's from Cyprus.
Is he?
So I am fucking Cyprus at the moment, yeah. So me and Amanda Olden should go on holiday together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where have you gone?
Shit
holes. No, they don't have to say shit. Oh, you weren't
listen,
impressed.
There's so many of them. many shit holes.
I knew you weren't going to be diplomatic, that time.
Like, literally, like, seriously, you get there and you're fucking hell. People rave about this shit hole. You know, Like, Cannes Film Festival. Fuck off. Seriously. Do you know what I mean? What?
Load of wankers.
Honestly, every... Walking up and down, in their dinner suits and their dresses to go and see some shit film that they can't even, can understand.
And it's got bloody subtitles a bit.
Atrocious. Lanzarote.
Lanzarote, they call it, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I like those kind of places. I think they're kind of funny. But when you're there, you don't...
It's the people, It's not the place. It's a bit of a crap question, really, because it's the people who go there, isn't it? Because I have a bit of a weird thing with Vegas, you know. I go there and, you know, I feel you should have a good time there, but sometimes people are too expectant that you're going to have a good time. Do you know what I mean?
We go with those expectations. The next time I go, I want to get married or at least, to someone I don't know.
To your Cypriot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. No, we're doing that in Cyprus.
We're just about to land now.
Okay.
I'm going to ask this question because this is my favourite one. You're 100 years old. Where do you want to be in the world? You're sitting there. You've got all your faculties. You're in your rocking chair. You've got your rug over. Where do you want to be looking out on?
Oh.
Cher's still alive. She's still going.
Of course she is, yeah. Yeah. Where would I be wanting to look out on? Ooh, back garden in Pimlico.
Well, that's simple as that.
All simple. And my own garden with my dog. I should probably be 400 years by then.
Aww.
But you know what? I like the simple things, Alan.
Yeah.
I travel, I do what I do. I just like to be at home sometimes. Yeah. I really do.
With your lifestyle, you're flying all over the world doing these parties. I get that. I do
it. Don't get me wrong. There's even moments where you just think, oh my God, life don't get better than this. When you look out and you see a sunset. Donatella's living room. There you go.
Like a laugh.
She's amazing.
Oh, I want to meet her. Can I come on holiday with you, please? Ever so good.
Well, the first time they flew me to do Donatella, and I was in her house in the villa, standing there, and in walks Donatella Versace, and I was like, they were like, that Tony Donatella Versace, and I was like, oh, seriously? I said, I'm so fucking honoured to be in your house. She went, are you fucking joking? I'm the one who's honoured. And I was just like, straight away, it's just that normality. It's just like that whole thing. A quick story. I was DJing. She came over with Kendall Jenner. Clang. And literally clang, as in clanger. She came over with her and they were like, oh, we follow you on Instagram. Start telling me about it. And I was like, I can't believe you followed me on Instagram. I really can't. She went, follow you, darling. No K, no play. Now, I used to say no K, but no play. Back in the day at Turnmills, when I used to turn the music off and ask for ketamine. And I used to go, no K, no play. And people would bring me drugs. And she, I was like, and I said to Edward, no, we're playing. Edward Emmerfeld, I get Ron that night. I was like, Edward, how did she know about no K, no play? And he went, she is obsessed. She finds out everything about everybody.
She does a research.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's not.
Do you know what I mean? I'm very blessed to work for Versace. They're amazing. They treat me with such respect. It's, you know, I work for some brands in this world, and you're meant to be privileged to be wearing a
pair
of Calvin Klein
pants.
Do you get what I mean?
They think you're their bitch.
They do, and you know, and I don't do that. I'm at that level now in my life where I'd be like, I'm sorry. There's been lots and lots of people in the last year where I've literally got up and walked out and said, you shove your job up your ass, I don't need it, even though I've been paid in advance. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make sure I've done that first. But you know.
I think lockdown's going to be... Well, I think it's been weird with friends because I feel I've had a bit of a cull. You do think who's been there and who hasn't there. And
100%.
Have a bit 100%. Of a cull, get rid.
And also after the pandemic, the ones that want you to do stuff for nothing, they're not your mates. You support your mates.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This is what keeps my roof over my head, my job. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I would jump at the chance of working for some people, and it's not work. It's like, I'd love to play at your party for you.
Yeah.
But don't come to me and ask me to do stuff and then just think can you do mates rates? It's like, hang on.
No.
We just come out of a pandemic. I ain't worked for 2 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of shocks me a little bit with some people.
Yeah,
especially when they've got such money and they don't realise.
Well, that's why they've got all the bloody money. They're tight as arseholes.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll soon be arriving in Pimlico. Can you please make sure your tray is up and your seat is in the upright position? If you could put your seatbelt on, that would be lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Do anyway, we're about to land. We've got time for our quick fire. All right, don't sound it like that. Have you enjoyed the flight?
Do we get duty free?
Yeah, oh God, yeah, it's waiting for you in that trolley, love. Yeah, do you want a scratch card? It's like Ryanair on here.
Scratch card.
Mint tea or mojito? Well, I know the answer to this.
Virgin mojito? I was going to say mint tea.
Yeah, look at you.
Can't stand hot drinks.
You're joking, because you turned down a cup of tea.
Yeah, I hate hot drinks.
Out of all the things you've had in your life, you ate a PG tips.
You know what I mean?
Hammock or honeymoon suite?
Depends if the hammock's on a really nice beach, right?
Yeah, lovely. That's nice. Turn left or turn right?
Oh, don't ask someone like me to turn left or turn right, because I'll just carry straight on and get lost in the wilderness. If I had the answer to that one, I'd probably be somewhere I should be right now.
Louvre or leave it out? So basically, are you a culture vulture? Were you potter about mints around the Louvre or a museum or no?
I'd probably nip into the Louvre to just look at one picture and then not look at the rest.
Oh, OK.
Do you know what I mean? But leave it out is kind of where I'm at with that one.
OK, then. And tip them or fuck them? Like, do you like, if you get good service, do you leave them a bit of money or drink, fuck them, I'll never see you again?
Oh, no, I always tip. If someone gives good service and someone's polite and they're really nice to you, I think, you know, there's certain places you go and you know that they get treated like shit by them and they're doing a really minimal job, like a menial job. And like being treated that way, I always tip. Do you know what I mean? I tip taxi drivers.
Yeah, I do that.
Always,
so,
black cab drivers. Yeah.
What about those dodgy restaurants where you give the tip and they don't give them to the staff?
I ask that question.
Yeah.
Always ask that question. Yeah. Do you actually get the tips? And they're like, if they say yes, then we tip them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd rather give someone cash to put in their pocket.
God, yeah, I know, because we've all been there, haven't we? We've all 100%. Done jobs that...
100%, yeah. So keep going. I think it's important. I don't tip abroad, though. They can all fuck off. No, I'm joking.
Thank you so much, DJ Fat Tony. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Oh, that was so much fun. Thank you, DJ Fat Tony. And you can check out DJ Fat Tony DJing at one of his fat brunches. And his brilliant new book, I Don't Take Requests, is out next year. Bye! Remember, life's the beach!